You say you got some resolutions. Well, what are they?
This is the Fantasy Focused Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, welcome to Fantasy Focused Baseball. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning in the year 2018. It's Wednesday, January 10th. I am Eric Carabel. He is Tristan H. Cockcroft. The H stands for happy to be back for a new year. How are you, sir?
Happy. You stole my word. I've got nothing. I don't even have a song.
Sing us a song. Come on. You're the piano man.
In the year 2018. Oh, boy.
So we can give you some answers to things that we know, like baseball stuff. You know, what we think about this player, where we would rank this player, who we would avoid, closer to avoid, all that kind of stuff. We don't know where J.D. Martinez is going to sign. Can't really tell you what we're going to be doing during the season, but we know we're doing a show today because we've already started, and there's no way Gabe Bassein, the producer, will turn it off. Kyle Stop of the researchers here as well. And later in the show, we'll take, what are they called? Hash browns, something like that? What will the music be? If it's not Lady with Emphysema, I won't be pleased. I hope she's doing better.
New year, new song?
I hope she's well. Here's the buzz. All right, so Tristan, I know we didn't get to talk before the show, but the way I see it is second half of the show, we do the hash browns. First half, we spend about 20 minutes talking about Yandervis Solarte and his role in the Toronto Blue Jays and what it means to fantasy owners because nothing else has happened since our last show. Now, he was number 338 on the radar. I think we can get another 18 minutes out of this, don't you think?
Without a doubt. You know, we should be fair to Yandervis Solarte. He does have a certain value. It's just not in the standard game.
Or you have him ranked. So Tristan's rankings are posted at ESPN's fantasy baseball page. There is a fantasy baseball page, lots of stuff on there, and Tristan's rankings are at the very top there. And Yandervis Solarte is number 279.
Which right means in between. He's not drafted in a standard league.
The guy ranked after him, I'm betting that 98% of the people that listen to this show and maybe in the studio right there have not heard of Teoscar Hernandez, the Toronto outfielder.
Yeah.
He's ranked number 280.
And I made really, really sure to put him ahead of Fernando Rodney.
Which is awful, Tristan. To have Teoscar Hernandez number 280, I mean, I would have him like 255. I mean, your ranking is ridiculous.
I know.
I can't believe you.
I mean,
it's an embarrassment.
The two rounds earlier, I was kind of going either way on that. And, well, you know.
All right, so we mock because we care. And we do care. And we wish the other players would sign contracts somewhere else so we could talk about them. And you know it's all going to happen in one day. Like the floodgates are going to open, Darvish and Arrieta and J.D. Martinez. But really, there's not a whole lot we can say about that today because the destination really does matter. And while people are asking us on Twitter, which is just the most awesome place on earth, what would we do with J.D. Martinez if he goes to Boston, if he goes back to Arizona? You've got him ranked number 24, which is really good, and I can't imagine that's going to change a whole lot no matter where he ends up.
Oh, it might, depending on if he lands in a pitching-friendly park, but Fenway Park doesn't fit that. The only thing that bothers me about Fenway Park is I'll bet it's going to cut down his homer total by a little bit, and it's going to bump up the average. More doubles, less homers.
And we're still waiting on Eric Hosmer as well, San Diego, Kansas City. Not sure it really matters. In that case, you've got him ranked number 50, which seems a little generous to me, but they're your rankings. Why do you like Eric Hosmer so much? That seems a little nice. Where was he on the Raider last year? Let me even check that.
It's probably
29.
Probably,
wow.
Yeah, he's the enigma for fantasy. I'm not sure quite what to do with him. I mean, as you just said, that player rater number was extremely good, especially for a first baseman that does not provide stolen bases. I could also make the case he's a marginal top 100 player. And that also is going to come down to where he lands, I think.
Well, let me ask you a serious question now. It's very serious, okay? I want you to focus on this one. If we acknowledge that first base is a deep position in fantasy baseball, and I think we would agree with that, among all the positions offensively, is that the deepest one? Or would you say there's another one that's close? I mean, does Hosmer get like a little bump down because of that? I mean, in all the first basemen to some degree? Like, you've got... I mean, I don't want to speak for you, so you answer it, but, like, you've got Paul Goldschmidt at number 3. Well, that's a first baseman, and the next first baseman you don't have until number 15, so should Goldschmidt be 3? By law, it's almost like, Well, why wouldn't you take a Mookie when you can't find 70 good outfielders? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, Goldschmidt only gets that ranking because of the stolen bases. I think at this point we can lock him in for roughly 15 or so, and that's a major difference compared to the rest of the position. But as to the depth, if it's not first base, it's third base. I feel like third base is remarkably deep this season, but I don't think it has the top-heavy nature that first base does. I think there are actually some legitimate questions about the top five or so guys at third base, ones you could really question whether they're going to match the numbers of a Goldschmidt or a Votto or Freeman or Rizzo, for example. But at first base, I feel a lot safer there. Am I going to wait? Yeah, probably. I'm probably going to wait at first base.
Yeah, I mean, my rankings aren't up, but Goldschmidt's not number three, and I think part of that is first base.
Who do you have three?
I have Mookie still. You know, but
I don't blame you there. I you know what? I think Mookie's not going to get a fair shake from. I mean, obviously, you and I are giving him.
Well,
one.
You know why I'm going to have Mookie up there. What do I do every like January, February, March? And like, I seem like I'm alone. Even like our colleagues seem to know that I do this at our meetings. I'm like, what do I end up arguing for?
Kaleidoscope.
Well, that's A1A and 1B.
you argue for when a guy has done it before that why can't he do it again? Just because he had one bad year, or why can't he go back to the one two seasons ago? And Lance Berkman was the ultimate example I recall where everybody was completely writing him off, and then he came back and he had a pretty productive year. It wasn't to the level of a first rounder, but you're exactly right on Mookie Betts. If you look at what he did last season, seriously, he had a lot of bad luck. There was actually, you know what? I had a geeky stat on him. Let's see if I can dig it up real quick.
Yeah, sing it too, though.
It's the geeky stat of the day.
The geeky Why? Stat of the day.
Holy freak out! The geek is going berserk!
It's only fair. You gotta sing it. Get your singing out of the way in early January.
All right, this is ultimately geeky here. There have been 390 seasons in history of 70-plus extra base hits and a contact rate, well, I'm using the K rate here, of less than 12.5, of guys who qualified for the batting title. And Betts, his BABIP last year was 268. He had great numbers, but he had a BABIP of 268. That was the 13th lowest of 390 all time. And by the way, practically every single one of the other guys on that list in the upper half hit 30-plus home runs. How many did he hit last year?
He had 24.
Exactly.
26 stolen bases. I mean, look, 20-20 guys who could be 30-30. I mean, I'm focusing on that in my draft because, you know, I'm not the one drafting D. Gordon or Billy Hamilton. So to me, if you can get a guy who kind of does a little bit of both, along with scoring tons of runs, knocking in runs, I don't even look at the batting average. I'm not even looking at last year's numbers in half the cases. I'm looking at, like, not really three-year averages, but I like to go back and look at last year's live draft results, and they are still posted at ESPN in the links at the top in the drop-down. And I look and I see, okay, why was this guy there, and what has changed? Mookie right. will be out of everybody. Well, no, won't be out of the top 10, but Machado might be. He was number 7 last year. Josh Donaldson probably will be. He was number 9 last year. Bumgarner, which I think we might get to in the second half of the show, he was number 12 last year. Oh, Miguel Cabrera, we could have a whole show about him.
I don't know what I'm doing with him.
Like, let me see where you have him. I don't know, I mean, to
your point about those big names, by the way, I actually like every single one of the ones that we would classify as a disappointment last year. I think it is a great time to just zig, you know, it's the whole zigzag thing where you want to take the guys who actually had disappointing stats but have skills that are comparable to some of the performers from last year, the guys who had the big seasons. And I'm with you that I like the stolen base guys early. That's why I like Betts. When you have the line drive profile that Mookie Betts has, I think that you can't possibly repeat a BABIP like that. I think it goes up 40 points, and that means so does the batting average.
I love where you ranked Miguel Cabrera. It's bold. It's going to be very unique. I mean, when I was thinking about where I would have him, I was thinking, I don't want to put him in my top 100. You have number 134. You have him between two guys where his numbers profile similar to, if you assume that last year is more reality than 2 years ago, you have him right in between the hitters of Evan Longoria, Nomar Mazar, who doesn't run, and Jay Bruce, which is pretty good. But you're not giving him any shot to basically bounce back to his prior levels.
And my ranking will be 100% incorrect, because I think Miguel Cabrera is going to be either a top 30 player overall on the final player rater, or he's going to be a flat-out bust.
So why do you rank him? Like, this is another kind of serious question. Why would you rank him that way? In the past, when I do something like that and people call me out for it, I say, well, yeah, it's a cop out. It's like, well, we're going in between. If I really believe that Miguel Cabrera is going to be number 220, I should rank him there. If I really believe he's going to be number 40, I should rank him there. What do you think is more likely to happen? Or do you think it'll be like If it's last year, he's not number 134. You know,
he's definitely not. And to be honest with you, I actually lean more towards him having the better year of the two. The problem is we can't assume the health. I should have used the geeky stat of Miguel Cabrera. He is the only player in baseball with 9 consecutive years of well-hit averages of 195 or better. Only guy in baseball.
Yeah, but does that even matter anymore?
Yes, absolutely.
Why? Because what happened last year looks pretty bad. And he's not, you know, we say this all the time, he's not getting any younger. Neither is Yandervis Solarte. But the point is, like, age catches up to you. Well, someday when I'm 35, I'll know. But, right? I mean, Miguel Cabrera, like, I don't think his 3-year history matters. I don't think his 10-year history matters. Why does that matter?
The reason it matters is that when your hard contact profile is that good, perhaps you could lose some home runs. You could shift into a line drive kind of mode there. But if Miguel Cabrera does that, he could still be a 300 hitter and give you 20-25 home runs. That's still going to be an excellent type. I mean, it's tough for people to get the combo here with the batting averages around the league dropping. I think it's a big positive for him. Plus, the other thing, too, is he did that last year despite being far less than 100%, which, as I said, he's the kind of guy who does perform even when he's far from 100%. I think that's something that's a big plus for him.
All right, let's go through some names here that are in the news, and it's not just names that haven't signed, or maybe it is. Manny Machado, not shortstop eligible, but it sounds like he wants to play shortstop for Baltimore. Whether he's traded or not, I can't tell. I doubt he gets traded anytime soon, frankly.
Do you think he gets traded at all before the deadline?
I think if Baltimore's out of it in July, and they probably won't be, though. Like, that's the thing. With the second wild card, all they got to be is a 500 team, and they're in the play in the wild card race. I don't think he's going to get traded. I don't think Baltimore's going to get anything for him. I'll watch it gets traded half, you know.
I think if he does get traded, it's going to be between the All-Star break and the 31st.
There's always breaking news right
I think on opening day, what is he on opening day? In the opening day lineup, what is he? He's what team, what position?
He's Baltimore's third baseman.
I agree.
I mean, Tim Beckham doesn't, you know, he's not Cal Ripken or anything.
He had a good year.
Steve Jeltz, but he had a good year. See the Phillies signed Steve Jeltz? The other Steve Jeltz? So excited. I got all these tweets from Phillies fans. Look, Steve Jeltz is back.
Oh, yeah.
So awesome. Remember that game?
Yep.
Homeward from both sides of the plate.
Yes, indeed.
All right, who else is in the news? Basically, any Marlins that are still left are in the news. You know, does it matter where Christian Yelich goes? We know he's good. We were concerned from a statistical standpoint. If people say to me, what do you think of Christian Yelich? I don't care where he ends up playing. The bottom line is he's not what we kind of thought he was. We thought he would steal more bases. Didn't you think he'd be like a 20-homer, 30-steal guy who batted 280 every year, solid? He's not that.
I don't think it is. I'm with you. I don't think it's going to matter where else he goes. I don't think it's going to change the profile except for one thing. By the way, he's an extreme ground baller. I've said that's the big issue with him in terms of developing power. So the ballpark thing is not going to shift his numbers in a radical way. Getting out of Miami, though, is going to help him from counting numbers bases. It's going to mean more plate appearances. They turn the lineup over more. Maybe he gets 30, 40 more trips to the plate. And it's also going to help his runs and RBI. In Miami, he's going to suffer severely there. I don't think he repeats last year's stats.
And Justin Bour could end up. I mean, I don't know why Miami wouldn't just move everybody at this point that has any kind of value whatsoever. But I there's so many free agents out there that play first base, and other guys like Tommy Joe's of Phillies would just give away for like a single A guy you've never heard of. I don't know how they're going to get anything for Justin Bour. Evan Longoria, well, he was traded since our last show, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
To San Francisco.
Right after it, the last one.
Yeah, I mean, that it helps a little bit, I guess, because, but does it? I mean, that's not the ballpark. I mean, it's a better ballpark for right-handed power than left-handed power. But Evan Longoria at this point, I mean, like we just said, you have him ranked like number 130-something. It's just not that special. That's a mid-round pick. He used to be a top 70 pick every year.
Give me one of the categories he leads the majors in the past 5 years.
Probably just games played.
Exactly.
Right? I mean,
6 more games than anyone. Remember, this guy had that rep for being an injury-prone player. I think staying healthy is a pretty particular skill of Longoria, and I don't like a lot of the rest.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, that's the thing. When I saw he was even like Tampa Bay fans were complaining, he's a 32-year-old third baseman who slugged .424 last year, and you're complaining that you got anything for him? I mean, I don't think Christian Arroyo is ever going to hit 20 home runs in a season, but all he has to do is Alonso change his bat path, and he could do it. You know, I mean, he's a good hitter, Christian Arroyo. I'm using Alonso as a verb. I mean, it's nice that Longoria has stayed healthy and beaten that rap, but if he's not going to – you can't slug four – and he has slugged less than .440 in 3 of the past 4 seasons.
Yep.
You got to be slugging .500. Now, I don't know, I'm not going to say every third baseman needs to be a power threat, but, I mean, my third baseman's getting into fights in the winter league and, you know, getting drunk.
That's not what he did.
I don't know what he did.
All I know is last year, the prospect.
Mike Franco. I'm taking the under on 500 at bats from Mike Franco this year.
Longoria, by the way, the fact he shifted to contact, that's another guy who I think we're looking at better in batting average, and he's going to suffer in homers. By the way, he's going to the worst, worst park for power. The worst.
It's a beautiful ballpark, though, isn't it?
It sure is, yes.
I love AT&T Park.
But we're looking at doubles. We're looking at the aim for batting average.
Get a little bit cold at night, you know, even in the summer. But
really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The breeze off the bay?
Off the bay, yeah. Oh, but a really nice place to go. That's one of my favorite places. What are your favorite ballparks? I know this has nothing to do with the show, but I don't think anyone's listening anyway.
The under, you know,
Philly's number one, right? It's got to be number one.
Oh, I do. I've got a soft spot for it.
Love Pittsburgh. Philly, Pittsburgh, San Francisco are my three favorites.
What's your underrated park? I haven't been to San Fran, but I bet I'm going to put it up there.
Well, you can't put it up there if you haven't been there.
Once I get there, I'll put it there.
Underrated. I got to think about that.
There was a park I really liked that probably isn't going to be high on anyone.
Cincinnati was pretty cool.
I haven't
underrated?
Been there yet. I could see it being underrated. For me, it's Kauffman Stadium.
Oh, that's a nice park. Yeah, Kansas City. And good barbecue. Oh. All right, back to the names here while we still have some time. Gerrit Cole, maybe he's getting traded, maybe he isn't. I'm kind of getting tired of all this, like Andrew McCutchen, Gerrit Cole stuff. Pittsburgh, are you rebuilding, are you not rebuilding? But if Gerrit Cole does end up on another team, Yankees or Astros, certainly that has to help him. He'd be leaving a pitcher's park, but he seems like a change of scenery guy to me. Like, you put him somewhere else and give him 5 years, and he puts up 200 innings every year, right?
Yeah, the change of scenery, it's going to be a ballpark downgrade no matter where he goes. But one thing that I think is going to benefit for him is give all credit you want to Ray Searidge, great pitching coach. But I do think he might be better suited to head to another team that's going to allow him to use the breaking pitches. Eric, I think I've mentioned this to you since the day he debuted. This guy's got a great curve and slider, and I wish he'd use them more. And I think if he went to a place like New York or Houston, perhaps he'd bump up the usage 5 or 10% total between the two. And if that happens, the K's could come back.
Let's do a brief closer carousel, if we shall.
The closer carousel.
Zach Britton, who was kind of an Achilles to a lot of fantasy teams last year. Ba-dum-bump, get it? He's going to be out for a while. Just Baltimore's luck. I assume Brad Brock will step in as the closer and be perfectly capable for 3 months. And that's the kind of guy I'm going to be focusing on in a late in the draft, like the last couple picks, because all I wanted to say is I would love to have the other stuff that you get from a Kimbrel or a Kenley Jansen or a Knebel, but I'll just take Brad Brock's 15 saves and be happy.
Agreed on that. I think he's going to be a nice bargain option. And I think in AL-only leagues, throw Michael Givens onto your list for the end game.
The overrated Wade Davis ended up on a new team. Where did Wade Davis go?
How's he overrated?
He's overrated, and you know it. He's going to get pummeled there. First of all, what's
you
more
think,
likely to happen?
Oh, where are you ranking him then?
He's definitely not in my top 10. First of all, wow. I understand that Greg Holland had a nice season for the Rockies. Wade Davis, his peripheral numbers, not even the peripheral ones, the regular numbers, the K rate, the walks, it's going in the wrong direction.
Yep.
And I didn't think he was going to stay healthy last year. I'm saying under 60 innings, under 30 saves on both. I'm going to have him like 15 among closers.
Okay.
Where do you have
him? I believe I had him ninth. Let me take a look exactly.
How can you do that? Like, I don't
see that.
Yeah,
I had him ninth reliever. Because I feel like after you get past the first six or seven relievers, I've got some questions about everybody. And 2 weeks ago when I looked at Wade Davis after the signing, I really wanted to just tear him apart. My first line on my notes, in fact, is I don't like where a lot of his stats are trending, and I wanted to tear him down and move him down where you do. And then I looked at the underlying numbers. I don't think he's a complete train wreck here. I think that's unfair to characterize him as a guy who's going to go completely bust. The ERA is going to go up.
ERA is going to go up.
But he's
going to
get
down.
The saves if he stays healthy.
Man, what happened to Greg Holland last year? I'm not using that as an example for future question marks to just all of a sudden be great again. I can't do it.
I don't think Holland is a fair comparison to Davis, though, because the injuries were different. The length of time he lost Holland did is
There's
different from Davis.
No way that I would have Davis ahead of Cody Allen. Felipe Rivera, number 12. I have him like number 7.
I kind of like Felipe Rivera. He could sneak up in my top 8.
Doesn't look like it in your rankings.
It's still pretty fluid when spring training camps
They're
haven't
not
opened
fluid.
Yet.
Your rankings today have to be the rankings for April 1st, Tristan. You're not allowed to trade them. Who told you you could trade them?
Yes. There might be. Who knows?
You're not allowed to change anything, even if a player gets traded or hurt.
Ouch. Oh, then I've got to make some adjustments here.
Now, is there any other closer talk while we're on the subject?
Let's scroll through those lists here.
I mean, there's a possibility Alex Coleman gets dealt. We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see where Greg Holland... Did Greg Holland find a job? I don't think he did.
No, not yet. I think we could see some... The three battles, I think, are also in the fluid here. I'm using that word all the time here. Arizona, San Diego, and St. Louis.
I think Arizona's clearly Archie Bradley, and I'm going to rank him like 12 instead of your 24.
Are saying it is not locked in as Archie
Bradley.
You
have Mark Melanson number 25 among closers. I think he's going to be fine. That's going to be the biggest bargain among closers if you have him ranked number 25. I mean, he's not a big strikeout guy, but I mean,
the injury bothered me. Yeah, I don't like to spend on injury rebound closers. It's just not my thing. I might be being unfair to him in the ranks.
You might be. And anyone, Atlanta, Vizcaino.
You really lock in Archie Bradley, huh?
What else are they going to do?
They're talking up Brad Boxberger and this the other Japanese pitcher
they
just signed.
That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, what is it? Yoshihisa Hirano.
I don't know anything about him.
Is that the no? That's the Padres dude is the one who has the old Chad Bradford where he practically touches the mound
right,
in his submarine delivery.
That's the Padre guy. Hirano's like 33 years old. I looked up his numbers. Not a strikeout guy in Japan. If you're not striking out guys there, I mean,
right.
He was a closer. I don't know enough about him. I mean, basically, he's your typical throw strikes, doesn't walk people, didn't give up a lot of home runs. Maybe he's their closer, but
he did K guys a few years back, but yeah, to your point, the strikeout rate has plummeted in the past two seasons.
Right,
that's a concern.
Any other names here in the news you'd like to talk about before we get to the music that I want and but won't get and answering questions for the people? Because it's really all about the people, Tristan. That's why we're here. Give the people what they want.
The two rebound guys that I found interesting in terms of the updates on injuries were David Dahl, who's finally swinging a bat. And keep in mind, the Rockies now do actually have opportunities. I'm not going to say David Dahl is an instant draft guy. I don't think he's on the board for a mixed league yet, a standard mixed league. But I think that's a good first step. And Eric, to your point, 2 years ago, we were very I wasn't that pro on David Dahl, but we definitely felt he was draftable. Let's not forget that. And the other is Dallas Keuchel, a guy who, you know, he had that everybody talked about the injury he suffered during the parade. Seems to me that he's going to be fine. He's resumed throwing.
During the parade? What, he got hurt during the parade?
Yeah, well, that's what they were saying, but my understanding was it was before that.
Did you hear about that coach? Oh, my God, for Houston, who had the thing? Read that story.
That was Dower, wasn't it?
Yeah, Rich Dower used to play for Baltimore.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable story. I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah.
I can't make any case for David Dahl anymore. I'm sorry. Can't do it. And opportunity. I mean, they're going to go with Ian Desmond's playing left, Blackman in center, Gerardo Parra, Raimel Tapia. Those are the right fielders, I assume. I guess there's opportunity because we don't think that those guys are great. But
who's the first baseman then?
Oh, I think they're going with Ryan McMahon. And I think they're going to end up signing somebody like a Napoli. Or I'm sure there's a first baseman out there better than him that they're thinking about, but
mm-hmm. Logan Morrison's out there.
I mean, if Logan Morrison goes there with his fly ball rates, he could have 45 home runs.
I do think things are going to change with the Rockies, and I agree that they're going to pick up some sort of free agent, whether it's a locked in regular or not is the question. But I think Dahl, at least right now, there's potential opportunity.
I'm pretty sure Desmond's their left fielder, but waste him at first base? Waste him. You know what? You want to talk about an underrated guy? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Nobody's going to want to draft Ian Desmond. You don't want to draft Ian Desmond. I know it.
I kind of do, actually.
Well, you have him ranked 109, which I would say is generous based on what happened last year. I'm going to have him in my top 100 because I don't forget what happened before last year.
Most so if I'm generous, you're being super generous.
I'm going to be super generous. I'm a generous guy.
That's
one of my things for 2018. I didn't tell you this, but I want to be super generous to everybody around me this year. That's what is it called? Like, what is that? You know, you make a resolution. I'm going to make some revolutions this year. And one of my
revolution.
You know what? You say you want a revolution? Well, I want to be generous to people.
You say you got some resolutions. Well, what are they?
To listen to more Beatles. All right. Well, it's time for Kyle to talk, so let's get to the music. No, this is like 80s music. This is like... This ain't doing it. I understand that, like, Kyle's a kid and he's young, and Gabe is young, and we're getting to, we want a whole new generation of young baseball fans. So if we do, like, is that hip hop? What is that?
This sounds like it's a space sitcom.
I can't imagine a world in which that's hip hop.
I mean, that ain't Lady with Emphysema.
This is clearly more elevator music than the first elevator music was.
Can we, like, split it at least? Like, once in a while, can we go back to the thing? I don't know.
Isn't this like dentist office music?
Exactly, and I don't go to the dentist. That's why I don't
That should be your resolution.
That's another story. We'll play this music on Chatwood Start Days. Every other day we can have Eric's music.
Chatwood gets a measure.
Really? Tyler Chatwood gets music now. Where did Christian,
he didn't
where
come
do you
up
have
in
him
the question, so. Let's see
what the Chatwood streak of mentions on the show.
I don't even have him ranked.
Yeah, I do.
Goodness, I think you guys, those are fighting words.
Whoa, that's kind of a typo.
Tristan does not have Tyler Chatwood, not only in his top 300, he doesn't have him in his top 100 starting pitchers.
No, you're right. I've got a file problem. I'm going to have to fix that.
No.
Yeah, absolutely do.
You're not allowed to fix anything.
It's already
your rankings
Porcello
until
at 217.
The day.
So it's,
there's no way I had him off there, so I clearly, I'll fix that.
Oh, number 217 is Rick Porcello, of course.
Where do I have him?
You just don't give up.
No, we're relentless here.
I think he's right this year.
I'm going to contact the Red Sox. I'm going to have Rick Porcello reach out to you to tell you how great he's going to be this year.
I would love to talk to Mr. Porcello. I'm sure he's a great guy, just not a great pitcher.
Tristan, Porcello versus Chatwood. We would take Chatwood, wouldn't
we? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Porcello's going to rebound, but not.
He's not going to be that bad again. There's a world, Kyle, in which you would draft Rick Porcello.
Yeah.
It's an AL only league.
AL East League.
Yeah, that might be the kicker there. I'm going to refrain from playing in my longtime AL East Keeper League this year.
Porcello or any of the Orioles starters?
How about all the other Orioles starters?
Oh, come on.
You
can't even name
I'm not.
More than two Orioles starters.
I'm not going that far, but 217 sounds about right to me.
I challenge either of you to name more than two Orioles starting pitchers right now. The two obvious ones.
Gausman.
Yeah.
And Bundy.
I probably can't.
Name the rest. I know one of them because I was going to draft him in a sim league and I didn't.
Jeremy Hellickson.
Well, he's not there yet. He's on.
He's a free agent.
Darn. Miguel Castro is the guy to keep an eye on.
Oh man, really? He's in there?
All right, let's get to the questions. Wow. What do you got there, Kyle?
All right, Mr. Blockchain wants to know how early is too early to go in on Gary Sanchez as the top catcher overall?
Is he the top catcher overall?
Yep.
Well, Yankee fan says yes.
Make the case he's not.
Whoa. That's crazy. Okay, so you have Gary Sanchez. No, I'm not going to make the case he's not. I would take him over Buster Posey, but I would not take Gary Sanchez in the top 50. You have number 43. You have Posey 79. That's more like it. I'm not a guy who's taking catchers in the top 100. But I will rank Sanchez and Posey there. I feel like Sanchez to me will be 60-something. Posey in the 70s or 80s.
Now, we should make the distinction you have to be talking about the ESPN 10-team mixed one-catcher leagues, correct?
Right. In a two-catcher league on other sites, I don't know what they're doing.
In two-catcher leagues, 44 is too late. And potentially by at least a round.
Let's try to answer the question. How early is too early? Well, where you have them ranked to me in an ESPN league is too early. Because you only need one catcher, and I understand that Sanchez is better than JT Realmuto or Yadier Molina, but I can also get those guys 18 rounds later. I think top 50 is a little too early. That would be my answer.
I think top 35 would be too early. Once I get past about 35 players on the ranks, when I get to the Marcell Ozuna range, that's when I'm starting to think about Sanchez. That's the same area that I have guys like Edwin Encarnacion, D. Gordon. I actually have Syndergaard in there.
All right.
I don't know what to do with him.
Eric, you mentioned mid-60s. Tristan has Yoenis Cespedes at 65. You taking him or Sanchez?
Cespedes.
All right.
Well, I'm not taking Cespedes at all, but yes.
You take Cespedes over Sanchez?
Yeah.
That's a
five
big bet. I'll take Sanchez
one
in a
catcher.
Heartbeat.
Why? A heartbeat?
I think he'll have better numbers than Cespedes.
I don't want Cespedes. If he had named Crush Davis or McCutcheon or even Tommy Pham.
Miguel Sano?
Man, you know what? Now we've gotten into a gray area. Longtime listeners of this show know what I mean. He did something bad. But it's a waste of time to even stop mentioning people's names anymore because half the league's going to be like this at some point. Well, what are you doing with Sano? There's going to be a suspension there, Tristan.
I think there's a good chance that's going to happen.
That could be a month. It could be the Sabathia one. No, sorry. The
Chapman one.
Chapman one.
Or Reyes had a longer one.
Again, I'm not...
Familia? Familia had
I'm not saying I like what any of these people have done, but it's a waste of time to just stop saying their names. So the Twins third baseman, you have him ranked number 62. If we find out it's a month, that's got to drop outside the top 100, doesn't it?
Oh, without a doubt, yes. Okay. Especially considering, remember, he provides things that are no longer scarce. He's mostly
power. Everybody's got power.
and Risky and batting average, those guys are becoming a dime a dozen. So losing any playing time is a bad thing for a player like that.
By the way, I think people are going to find out when they start doing some mock drafts, and I can't tell you when that's going to be available on our site. But the infield is not shallow. Second, short, and third are not shallow positions this year. They're not quite like first base, but they're pretty close.
But this is where it gets interesting, back to that question about catcher, is that catcher is precariously thin. And Eric, I know you like to wait on the position. You are going to get the last catcher. Do you feel comfortable getting the 10th guy, and who is it?
Absolutely.
There's at least
10 catchers.
I disagree with that.
Yadier Molina, Jonathan LaCroix bouncing back to a degree. Look, if Jonathan LaCroix hits 275 with 12 homers, and Gary Sanchez hits 275 with 25 home runs, it was worth it for me to wait 18 rounds to do that, I think. That's what I think.
And I want to see where LaCroix goes. I agree that I think he can be a solid pick as the 10th guy if he lasts that long. But there's some real questions about the catchers after that point. The guy that strikes me is Wellington Castillo,
exactly.
If you're waiting.
Yeah, I mean, I see a bunch of guys here. McCann, to a degree.
To a degree, yep.
Grandal, even if he's not quite the starter. So what? 350 at-bats, he can still do what I need him to do.
I worry he's not going to start. If
yeah, I worry that
him.
Too. But again, like, also, what I like doing in an ESPN Standard League is kind of messing around with my catchers. If Buster Posey has a bad 2 or 3 weeks, you're not cutting him. But if Wilson Ramos does, then you can. And you feel good about it.
Just
get the hot catcher. I like to stream the catchers.
That's a fair point. There are some interesting guys out of there. Alex Avila, I'll throw it too. I'm watching where he lands.
All right, Kyle, what's next?
Alrighty, Adam Hansen wants to know if either one of you are concerned at all about Madison Bumgarner based on how he pitched when he came back from injury. His K per nine was down 1.5 and his FIP up to 438 in the second half last year.
Honestly, I'm not even looking at his numbers. And somebody could say, well, that's ridiculous. Tristan, tell them why. Well, I don't know what you think, but do you think it's important to even look at Bumgarner's numbers from last year?
I think it's always important to look at a guy's numbers, but I did, and I quickly discarded them. I think it's unfair to give him any sort of criticism based on the return afterwards, because I think it was injury-influenced. And with the off-season's rest, I think it's pretty likely he returns at least close, if not to the exact point of 2 years ago.
I agree. I mean, where you have him ranked as the number 5 starting pitcher. So there's a top tier of 4 that we all could rank similar. In fact, you do. 10, 12, 16, 18. You have Kershaw, Scherzer, Kluber, Sale. My order, I have Scherzer over Kershaw, but again, it's very close. But yes.
I'm almost to that too.
I don't know how you can't be. But Bumgarner to me starts the next tier. Ooh, Syndergaard is not in my top 10.
I'm not sure what to do with Syndergaard. I'm sure we'll get more into that as we go. Bumgarner though, what was the note I handed him? The one thing that I'm wary of. What if they decide to keep him on tighter pitch counts this season? Do that thing that a lot of teams are doing where they try to avoid the third trip through the lineup. Even if that happens a couple of times, if he loses any volume, that's going to be what hurts Bumgarner.
80% of the pitchers could be in that boat.
It could be more than 80% too. That's the scary
part. It's a new way of thinking, and you might not want to get 6 starting pitchers anymore.
But what's appealing with him was the volume. It was the durability in the past.
I don't see any reason why San Francisco would change that, but
I hope not.
Next.
Matt Cox has one player left for his 2018 keeper. You want Stroman or Hendricks?
That's interesting. Let's check Tristan's rankings. Stroman is number 18. Kyle Hendricks is number 26. I think the gap is a little smaller, but neither of these are strikeout guys. And so, I mean, I like Stroman, but for anybody thinking that this is going to change what he is, that's a mistake. Like, he has shown over the past 2 seasons, he got to 200 innings, and he struck out 166 and 164. He is what he is. Now, his 2016, he was a little bit unlucky. I think his 2017, he was a little bit lucky. That ERA does not match the whip at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his FIP is almost a run higher from last year. If you're drafting Marcus Stroman, look at that strand rate, my goodness. You're drafting Marcus Stroman, you're assuming a 350 ERA. I am. Kyle Hendricks actually could be better than that. I think I might take Hendricks. Hendricks' whip, man, that's a big difference.
What bothered me with Hendricks was the increase in walk rate. He lost nearly 2 miles per hour on his fastball. Now, granted, he's not a velocity guy. The FIP was the highest he ever had as a pro. I National League, Also, the other thing, too, is we in our game, we count the wins. We've got to say that the Cubs are a more competitive team than the Blue Jays. I have to think that there's a win bump for Cubs pitchers.
I think
Stroman's a better pitcher is all.
I think Stroman's probably a better pitcher. I think Kyle Hendricks is going to have better numbers, and I'm going to rank Hendricks over Stroman. So my keeper would be Hendricks. I don't care about ages at this point in the keeper league. Like that, when you're talking about your last keeper like that, it doesn't matter to me if they're 34.
They're 26, 28. It doesn't
right, if they're young, the same. To me, it's the same region. So so we split on that. Interesting. All right, what's next? Yep.
I'll break the tie and go Stroman in that one.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah, well, there you go. Jason wants to know, Alex Wood. Tristan has him at starting pitcher 21, 88th overall. Are you more concerned about the talent or the health moving forward?
You have him 21?
Yeah. Wow. Now, 21 would have been 35 2 years ago. That we need to point that out. The stat profile of a guy who's 21 is probably the equivalent of what 35 was 2 years ago. It has changed that much. And Alex Wood's skills are remarkably consistent over every year of his career. What's the big question? It's health. So the answer to this for me is health by 95%+ between those two.
You seem awfully trusting of this guy.
Oh, I don't at all. I think it's 150, 175 innings at best.
Yeah, but to rank that as the number 21 starting pitcher? I can't do that.
I'm drafting the skills in limited samples.
There's no way I would take Alex Wood over Jose Quintana. I don't think I would take him over Kyle Hendricks. I don't think I'd take him over Tanaka.
Tanaka, I'm probably...
Duffy? Yeah. Lester? Wow, Lester really dropped. One bad year, Tristan. One bad year, and you're off John Lester.
David Ross is retired.
What?
David Ross is retired.
Really? That's why he had a bad year? Because his catcher retired.
It certainly contributed. That was part of it.
Oh, my goodness. All right. John Lester, off the board.
He masked a lot of Lester's problems with the base running.
Still had a K per inning.
I know.
Still on a good team.
Still a very good pitcher.
John Lester, he's going to be under. I'm going to have John Lester a lot higher than you. Now, maybe not overall, because I'm not going to rank the starting pitchers overall as a group as well, but... You have number 31. He's going to be in my top 25.
Where would you have Alex Wood?
I would have Lester over Alex Wood. I don't trust Alex Wood to stay healthy, and that's part of the things that I'm looking for. I'm looking for like four or five starters that I think can stay healthy and give me good numbers, and I'm not looking at Lester giving me another 430 ERA. I'm looking at a 330 ERA. So to me, Lester's pretty safe. Again, last year, I bet John Lester was ranked as a top 10 starting pitcher last year, and now you have him 31 because he lost his catcher? Yeah, he was the number 9 starting pitcher last year. That seems like an awfully tough drop. Because of one bad year.
Okay. I was the pessimist on it because of the catcher thing last year and didn't gain one share of John Lester. Now, that worked out.
It didn't go well.
Well.
He did not have a good year.
And I will say this. He is going to rebound, and it's going to be probably by a decent amount. That's why I still rank him within my top 30. But I don't think that he's what he was 2 years ago. And I think it was 4 years ago was the other big year. The Oakland split year.
Other than the catcher, I don't see how you can even say that. But I'm gonna drop him to a 340 ERA. A 118 WHIP is still higher than what we've gotten used to. But a lot of Ks, 15 wins. I think you're way off on John Lester.
The thing I had considered here was whether Rich Hill belonged in Alex Wood's spot and Alex Wood belonged in Rich Hill's spot. And I might flip them. I feel like when we're bracketing between the 21st and 32nd starting pitcher for me, they're not that far off.
I think I Rich Hill over Alex Wood.
Understandable. But right. That's another injury risk.
Oh, yeah.
Big
combined,
one.
They may not make 35 starts. All right. What's next?
We got two more questions. Gabriel wants you to take the over or under on at-bats for Scott Kingery in 2018. He sets it at 300.
Come on. Over by a lot, and he's going to be great. Somebody in one of my leagues just offered me Yasmani Grandal for him. And I read the email, and I thought, it's probably a fair offer. My team doesn't have a catcher. I need a catcher in the league. But, wait, crazy? I mean, somebody could offer me Mike Trout. I might not do it. I
think I know the league you're talking about, and if it is, no way.
I don't know exactly what Scott Kingery is going to do because his numbers in the minors, they're not going to translate to that degree. Is he going to hit 20 home runs as a rookie this year? Probably not. But he's a Pedroia type. And that means I think he's going to hit for average, going to get on base. I think he's going to score runs. That lineup's fine. Don't tell me it's not. I think he could hit in the teens home runs. I think he's going to bat like second in the order. I think he's going to be terrific. And I think he's up by mid-May. You know, we could debate, you know, whether they do the Chris Bryant thing with him and sit him 2 weeks or whether he sits into May. I don't know what the Phillies are actually going to do. They still have Cesar Hernandez. There's no rush here. But Scott Kingery's getting 450 at bats, I think.
I'd have a hard time disagreeing with that. I kind of like the guy. Best case scenario, he puts up Pedroia-ish numbers from 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really good... I think this is a top 10 second baseman. Not this year. I can't rank him that way because there is some uncertainty.
I love my cheesesteaks, and I love that turkey leg when I go to Philly, but I'm pro Phillies. I think they're the trendy sleeper. I'll tell you, if their rotation was a little bit deeper,
they have nothing. They have no.
Big issue. If they had, I don't want Arrieta there. I'll tell you that.
No, I do not want them to spend on Darvish or Arrieta. I would love for them to be able to trade like Cesar Hernandez for a pitcher. You know, just a guy who fills in like a Matt Shoemaker type, just somebody who can give you 170 innings. But right now, you can't make any case for the team.
If Cobb's price was a little bit cheaper, I'd like him as a potential.
If you could get 3 years at 45 on Cobb, yes, but they can't.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen. No. So
anyway, I think Kingery is going to be really good, and I think he's going to get mostly. I think he's up for like 5 months.
So the question is, does he then become draftable in mixed? Let's just say mixed leagues, not necessarily standard, even if it's 12-team.
And it's really late, right? I mean, it's hard to make a case in an ESPN league to draft Scott Kingery. It's hard to make a case in an ESPN league to draft any of these prospects. And if you were going to, who would you take? Like, who do you think plays right away? We don't know for sure that Victor Robles starts the year in the majors, or Ronald Acuna. They're both 20-year-old outfielders. We don't know. What else? I mean, Tatis isn't up. Bichette's not up. I'm trying to think of hitters here who I think are going to make, who are going to be Rookie of the Year type players. Acuna, Robles, Kingery. Who?
Otani.
He's not even going to bat 200 times.
No, but I mean, he'll be a Rookie of the Year type. I mean,
right.
From the hitting side, who was the other one I was just looking at? Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, batting eighth or ninth and playing second base. That's what he's going to do.
I mean, Kingery will probably also be batting eighth.
Kingery's batting second base. I think he's back in second.
Do you draft him over, let's throw a name, Colton Wong?
It depends what kind of league you're in. If Colton Wong is your starting middle infielder, it'd have to be a deeper league. In an ESPN standard league,
some labor.
The free agent, I'm taking Kingery over Wong, yeah. Yeah.
Would you take him over, who was the next guy I had there?
And darn. This music is just the worst. I respect Josh Harrison. Opinion, but man, no, I would take Kingery. I would take Kingery. Let me see where you have him ranked. I don't even see you having
He's
him
not
ranked.
In my top 40.
All right, now I'm going to have him like number 20 among second basemen. So I'm going to have him in like the 200 to 220 range. I think that's a reasonable thing to do. Look, I had Moncada last year, 150. Turned out I was wrong. He didn't put up numbers, but I'll take the chance. Because this guy's like Colton Wong and Cesar Hernandez sitting on free agency. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you take the chance to stash a guy whose upside is immense?
I kind of like those two comps as being out there on free agency. I think
it is
going to be
on free agency.
The better performances of Colton Wong. I think it's going to be similar to that. I think it's going to be Cesar. I'm not a Cesar Hernandez guy this year. I was last year. I'm not.
No, you can't be because he's going to lose at bats. But like,
he's a volume steal guy too.
He's not even a volume steal guy. He doesn't even run. He's a terrible base stealer. One of the worst base stealers I've seen.
But the reason he got the steals he did last year was simply volume. It wasn't anything skills related, and I'm worried that if he loses any playing time, which he will, that's going to make him undraftable.
All right, Kyle's always draftable. One more question, Kyle.
I appreciate that, Eric. Matt Jackson's got a final question here regarding the Cardinals outfield. Tristan has Pham at 81 and Ozuna at 35. Two-part question. Is there a chance Pham outproduces Ozuna? And if not, would you rather Pham at 81 or Ozuna at 35?
I don't like Ozuna at 35. I think it's too early. I love Pham at 81, but I wouldn't put him 35. Last year, to be accurate, Ozuna out player rated Pham. I'm making up words.
Probably by a lot.
No, not by a lot. They were almost tied. Ozuna, I mean, they were almost exactly the same.
Okay, yeah.
So, but, I mean, one of them runs. Now, we don't think Tommy Pham's doing that again. I mean, let's make that clear. But Ozuna finishes the number 5 outfielder on the player radar last year, which is really hard to believe. And Pham was number 8. So they were pretty close. But there's no way, I don't think Ozuna's hitting 312 again. I don't think he's going to have those power numbers again. I mean, remember what he was before this year. You know, I mean, we talked about it on the previous show. Piscotty versus Ozuna going into 2017. it was close or split or Piscotty. And now we just love Ozuna? I don't...
I see what you mean. Yeah, about the price you'd have to pay to get him.
He's not doing that again. He's going back to 28 homers, 90 RBI, 275, which to me is not a top 75 player.
I'll take the over on the average.
Why would you assume that it's 312? He's a 277 hitter. He had never hit 270 before. He had never hit 270 in a season before. And then one year he does it, and now that's his new baseline? No way.
The contact profile is too good, I think, for him to regress all the way back to 270. I think he's 285, 290, and that's...
Okay.
I'm probably overranking him then, if it's 285.
I think Ozuna might end up in my top 75 barely. I think Pham definitely ends up. So I think I'm going to have Pham over Ozuna in the rankings because of the steals.
What does Pham do this year?
I think the power goes down a little. The problem I have almost with that situation is, like, if Ozuna's hitting 210 coming out of April, they don't sit him. If Pham is, they do. That's what I
I'm not sure I agree with that.
There's no way they're sitting Ozuna. He makes all the money.
But I think their design, remember they talked to Fowler about playing left field. Now they could always move him back into center if that's what happens with Pham, but I think they envision him as the center fielder and that no one else cuts into that time.
I like Pham. I love the walk rate. I think that's a 18 homer, 30 steal guy who bats second regularly.
Wow, 30 steals. Okay.
He stole 25 last year in only 128 games, so you can easily project that ahead. I think Tommy Pham is legit. I will take Pham over Ozuna. And it looks strange, but it shouldn't. They were the same last year on the Player Raider. All right, the music's starting to stop. Any final thoughts? Can't tell you when the next show is. We've got some vacations coming up and things like that. And also, nothing's happening in baseball. But there will be a next show. I think that's for sure. Tristan, any other thoughts here?
Where's Lance Lynn end up?
Where does anybody end up? Where do we
end up?
Well,
we mentioned everybody else and predicted where they were going, so why don't we get the last guy?
Lance Lynn ends up?
Phillies.
I don't know why they would do that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know why they would do any of that. I mean, honestly, take a shot on a guy who nobody wants for a year or two. The same stuff they've been doing the past couple of years. It generally doesn't work out. But Charlie Morton, they were right about. He just got hurt.
All right. I'll give you another one. The Yankees opening day third baseman.
Torres.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, I don't want to project them signing Todd Frazier. Why would they sign Todd Frazier? They don't have the money because they want to stay under this. It's not a salary cap. They want to stay under the tax.
The luxury.
They don't have enough power in their lineup. That's why they'd sign him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right now they don't really have a second baseman or a third baseman.
Yep.
Torres probably should play second. He's playing one of them and batting eighth. Couldn't you just get away with Torres or Miguel Andujar or somebody like that? I mean, they could sign somebody cheaper than Frazier. I don't know what they're going to do.
You could keep Torres, Andujar, and Torres on the roster and just shuffle around between the three of them.
I mean, they're batting eighth and ninth. In that lineup, they are literally going to bat eighth and ninth. Do you need stars
literally
there?
Literally batting eighth.
Plus, Gleyber Torres is going to get on base a lot better than Todd Frazier.
I like Todd Frazier.
Really nice guy. Congrats to what he's done in his career, but he's taken a turn statistically that he shouldn't have taken if he wanted to, you know, get a lot of money on the free agent market. Mm-hmm. Not going to get it. He's going to have to settle for a 1-year deal for $10 million probably, right? Which, you know, it's awful. I mean, we would all take that in a second. All right, we're done for today. If anybody has any final thoughts, I guess we'll just move on. So thank you, as always, to Gabe Bassane. He does a great job pushing all the buttons and whispering in the ear, but it's not what you think. Kyle Soppy for... chiming in on his love for Rick Porcello. He's going to draft him in the 12th round this year. Tristan, make sure you get Tyler Chatwood ranked. And I am Eric Carabell. Please all enjoy your January, and we'll be back with you as soon as they tell us we can.
Everything is awesome.
Darkness.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at ESPNRadio.com.